I thank the brethren on Friday for inviting me. I want to thank you again. Now, beloved, whether you realize it or not, when I listened to our brother yesterday and today, there's no question that this is the Word of God. Now you say, why? The scripture that he used yesterday and the one this morning, I have often spoken from. But they never said what he said. You can't exhaust it. I remember some time ago when we were in the old building, and I suppose there are very few that remember it. How many here know John 3:16? Nobody? What? That brother in that building spoke every night for 2 weeks from John 3:16 and didn't repeat himself once. How many can do it? That's the Word of God. Inexhaustible. Beautiful Word of God. Now, on Friday night, we turned our attention to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And we're going to continue the subject. Romans 12 and verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And may I say again, that includes the sisters. Please don't be upset by these new style people who want to say brothers and sisters, wherever it is. If you have a basic knowledge of the English language, you know that brothers include sisters. So when they start fussing, we must take the masculine out and put in the feminine, it shows that they haven't been taught. They don't know as much as they think they know. In other words, they're not as smart as they think they are. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, that you yield yourselves a living sacrifice. And that's our subject. Now, I just want to review a little bit what we said on Friday night so that you might get the point of view from which we are speaking. A living sacrifice. And there is the story of the cow and the pig. And the pig said to the cow, people think so much of you and all you give is milk. And they think so little of me and I give my whiskers and my feet, my tail, my skin, my ribs, even my entrails. I give all of me. And they don't think much of me and they think so much of you and all you give is milk. And then the cow sort of meditated for a minute or two and said, you know what I think? You give when you're dead. I give when I'm alive. A living sacrifice. That is what God wants. Now, there are different ways of developing the subject. And you remember we turned to Leviticus chapter 1. To develop the subject from Leviticus chapter 1. Now, Leviticus chapter 1 has to do with the burnt offering. That is the one offering, all of which went to God. No one down here, the priest or the offerer, nobody but God got the burnt offering. We are to present our bodies living sacrifices. And we want to learn a few lessons from the burnt offering. Leviticus chapter 1, please. Verse 6. He shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. Now let's note what the pieces are. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar, lay the wood in order upon the fire, and the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts. Now these are the parts. The head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire upon the altar, his inwards, verse 9, and his legs. Four parts to the burnt offering, and we want to consider, well, we won't consider one. But Friday night we consider the head. God wants our wills. God wants our minds, and that brain that you think you have so much in there, God wants it. As part of the sacrifice of the individual to him. He wants our heads with all the knowledge that we have. God wants it. Now, again, young people, don't think that I'm picking on you, but in a way, I suppose I am. God wants that intellect of yours. He wants that brain of yours as a living sacrifice. And may I suggest that you give it now while you're fully alive. You know what happened to the princess, the young woman. Do you know how much time you have? He wants your intellect. He wants your mind subjected to him so that he may use it. Now the next thing we want to talk about, in the burnt offering, one of the parts was the fat. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 3, please, verse 16. Leviticus 3 and 16. He wants the fat. God wants the fat. 3 and 16. The priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. Please note, all the fat is the Lord's. Are you willing to give him all the fat? But what does the fat speak of? And again, we turn to the book of Exodus, please. Pardon me, book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 41. Verse 1, what does the fat represent? What is it that he wants from us? This fat, which he says, is all for him. You see, this was the mistake that Eli's sons made. When they took those offerings from the people, they didn't give all the fat to the Lord. And that's one reason why he deposed Eli. But let's look, Genesis chapter 41, verse 1. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, fat-fleshed. Please notice that. And they fed in a meadow. Behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. Verse 29. The interpretation of this dream. There come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. There shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine shall consume the land. What does the fat speak of? Health. The fat speak of God wants your health. Now, some of you are going to tell me I don't have it. I'm coming to that. Oh, the Bible has an answer for everything. You can't get away. It has you everywhere you take. God wants you in your healthy state while you are healthy. Now, I know the young people are young and healthy. Turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 29. Twenty and 29, please. He wants our health, our strength, and this body that we make such a fuss over. And we go to this clinic, and we go to the other place, and we take this exercise and the other exercise. Good. Our God wants it. Are you willing to give it to him? He wants it. He wants your health. He wants that fat. He wants that thing that we often pride ourselves on. God wants it. Proverbs 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength. I think that includes women too. And you get the same thing in 1 John. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. Fine. God wants it. Are you going to give it to him? Or are you going to waste it? I think of a man, Judges chapter 6, verse 16. The strongest man that ever lived. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said, entice him and see wherein is his great strength. Samson was strong. Now, God has been pleased to lift Samson as one of the heroes of faith. But actually, as I read the Bible, I don't see that he uses strength for God's purpose as he might have. You know what was Samuel's trouble? Come back to chapter 14. Verse 1. Samson went down. Every word in the Bible is important. You remember that man that was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho? He went down. And Samson went down. Now follow closely. And saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. You remember Dinah, Jacob's daughter? She got in trouble for the same reason. She went down to see the girls. Be careful. I remember, and I've told you this, at the scientific meetings, you know, they always have, say the meeting starts at 8. They serve a collation from 7:30 to 8. Some of you must have experienced that, you know. And as I often say, to ingest that collation required no teeth. All they did was drink. And Arthur Garnes always got there at 8:05. Here comes Garnes. He only drinks water. Anything wrong with that? Notice again, verse 2, Judges 14. He came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Now many of you are young, and you have every right to looking forward to getting married. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's one of the orders of God for human beings. But don't go down. Oh, she's so pretty. And he's so handsome, as our brother was telling us yesterday. Don't go down there. Now, notice what? Verse 3. His father and mother said unto him, is there not a woman among the daughters of thy people or among thy brethren? That thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Now what we're going to read was Samson's fall, downfall. That was his trouble. Get her for me. She pleases me well. I like her. And God had said, you shouldn't do that. I am not concerned with what God said. I like it. Be careful who you like. And by, you know, I'm getting away from the subject. But if I never see you again, I want you young folks to know one thing. There is no such thing on earth as falling in love. There is no such thing as falling in love. What did God say in Deuteronomy? He said, I have set my affection on you. Don't you see some young fellow, handsome as can be, or young girl as pretty as I have fallen? Nonsense! You set your affection, and you better set it on a child of God. Yes. This was his equal. She pleases me well. The strongest man ever lived. But he didn't use that strength for the Lord. It is, as I say, interesting. He's listed with the heroes of faith. I'm sure God saw what I don't see. But as far as I can determine, he wasted the better part of his life. He used his strength wrongly. Young men, young women, I'm going to come to the older ones too. Use your strength wisely. Use it for God. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Well known chapter. David and Goliath. Let's start at verse 45. No, start at 42. 42. We want to see and hear what the Philistine thought. And by the way, he was taller than any of the present day basketball players, you know. He was 9 feet. These boys that play basketball, they're short compared to him. Big from 9 feet. And read the early part of the chapter, you find the weight of his armor. Oh, it's a fascinating story. But let's read. Verse 43, the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? You come to me with staves? And he cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. But what did David say? Look, listen to what David said. David said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He was giving his, he wasn't going in his own strength. That strength of his was surrendered to the Lord and was going in the strength of the Lord. This day will the Lord deliver me into thine hand. I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. I will give the carcasses to the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's where his strength was. Are you willing to give your strength in the hand of God? A living sacrifice? All those exercises you take, and those poor firm muscles that God wants. Are you willing? The question arises, what made David so sure? How was he so sure that he was going to win this way? He had private experience. Verse 33. Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight. You are a youth. He's a man of war. All right? What did David say? Your servant kept his father's sheep. Now, I'm going to read it not the way your Bibles read it. You might get it in the revised version. If you get it in Dari. It reads this way. Whenever a lion came. Not when a lion, whenever, more than one lion came, whenever a bear came, David had private practice. And I believe that he used a sling to kill the lion and the bear whenever they came. So that when he met the giant, they had no problem. You are so big, I can't miss you. But beloved, if you're going to perform in public, you better spend some time in private. Our brother was speaking of digging, and I'm reminded, this is from a different aspect. But I remember my second day at medical school, and there was a fellow that I knew there. He was 2 years before me. I said, what's the secret to this medicine business? They say it's so hard. What's the secret? He said, Garns, dig. Perfect. It isn't that hard. You just have to stay there, dig. And I recommend to those of you, especially younger, dig where this word is concerned. Get alone with a dig and stay there. A little less TV, as our brother here. A little less radio. And you know, you'll come out knowing just as much. In fact, you come out knowing more. You know what this book says, and you know as much as they do. Now, for example, the lady died, has died. I haven't heard it, because I haven't heard the TV or a radio. But I know she's died, has died, and I know about as much as you know. But I did spend this morning with this book. And I tell you, as I said on Friday night, if you honor God, He will honor you. Give time to this book in private, and then when the time comes to perform in public, you'll be ready. Brother Mack always used to say, and I have fond memories of him, he used to say, I don't want to rust out, I want to wear out. Anybody remember that? Yeah. Did he rust out? No, no. While preaching the gospel, he fell dead. Oh my, isn't that a wonderful way to use your energy? Working for the Lord, and you drop dead? Well, I can't think of anything better. That's a nice way to die. Nice way to die. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 12. And let me say this. So many of you are looking forward to retirement. I want to retire. Now, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Never retire. Well, what am I supposed to do? Refire. Do not retire. There's work to be done. And the energy that you have, it's going to be less, but God wants it. And we're going to come to that in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. Oh, I like this verse. This was the Apostle Paul's inner feeling and attitude. I will very gladly spend and be spent. Oh, boy. He was willing to just burn out and burn out for the Lord. The Lord wants that energy. The Lord wants the fat. How much time do I have, Ruth? Oh, it's 25 after. I'll finish before. Now, I have addressed the young people, since you're young. But then some of the old folks say, well, you know, I have arthritis. That's no excuse. I have high blood pressure. No excuse. I have diabetes mellitus. No excuse. As long as you have energy, God wants it. Now, it's not to be the same. You can't expect to be the same at age 90 that you were at age 15. The Bible tells you that. You know, that's another thing. Where we read in Genesis, the Lord says, in the day that thou eatest thereof, what does it say? But you know a better translation? Dying, you will die. Do you know you're dying? Yeah. You're dying. You're not going to get any stronger. But then there's a lovely rule in the human body. It is called the all or none law. Now you take a cell, see? Strong cell. When that cell works, it gives all that it has. But that cell gets a little older, doesn't it? And so the next day, it can only give 50% of what it gave 2 days ago. What does the cell do? It gives 50%. 100%, but it's at a 50% level. And that's what God wants of us. Whatever you can do, do it. Do it. Now, for the people with arthritis, God wants you to do plenty with the arthritis. Now, my wife and I, about 10 days ago, there was a lady from Argentina. Oh, a wonderful pianist. De La Rosa was her name. Maybe you. And when she got to the piano, my wife said, but that woman has arthritis. No, oh, her knuckles were gnarled. How is she going to play? She played. So arthritis is no excuse. No excuse. And headaches and my back, nothing is any excuse, beloved. God expects you to give as much as you can while you are alive. No excuse. I think of a brother. I saw his picture, and I have his picture at home. I did not know him, but I read the story of him, and then I met a sister who knew him, and she said, everything that you have read is correct. Now picture this. At age 45, he was in an explosion. All right? Lost both eyes and both hands. Now what would you do? Oh, Lord, I've come to the end. He didn't do it. Age 45, both eyes, both hands. And when they were healed sufficiently, he decided to read Braille. Well, he had no hands. Couldn't read Braille with his fingers. He had none. He tried reading Braille with his lips. That didn't work. Finally, he read Braille with his tongue. And he would get in that meeting day and exhort saints. He was using what he had. Amen. You remember what the Lord said to Moses? What's in, oh, let's look at that. What's in your hand? There's a nice little portion here. What is in thy hand? I think it's chapter 3. Chapter 4. Yes. Verse 7. Verse 2, please excuse me. The Lord said unto Moses, what is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. Now we're not going to read the rest of the chapter for the sake of time, but you will find it's the same one rod. No two, the same rod. What's in your, a rod? Verse 20. Moses took the rod of God in his hand. The same rod. But he surrendered it to God. And that's what God is telling us. Give me your strength. Don't work in your own strength. And I will give you the victory. What do you have, child of God? Oh, I don't have much. God didn't ask that. I think it was another scripture. You remember the lady there in Zarephath? She had a little meal and a little oil. It is fascinating to read what Elijah said.
Yes.
She said, I have a little meal. Elijah said, the barrel of meal. I have a little oil, and I said, the crucible. And when we put our little in God's hand, it's amazing what he can do. And I'm speaking particularly of our abilities we need to put in God's hand. We're staying with our sister. I don't think she minds. Marguerite Marshall. I must tell you this too. I don't have many relatives, at least that I recognize. But I recognize her. And we are staying at her home, and I saw a beautiful piece of work there. I don't think they could call it a painting. I don't know what you would call it. But it was a beautiful artwork. And it was time-consuming. And it was done by a woman 80 years old. What do you have in your hand? Give it to God and he will use it. And he will use it. You see, I could tell you many of these things. I'll tell you another. Years ago, there was a harpsichordist. And I like the keyboard instruments, the piano and the organ. I like them. And I will tell you this. This is one of my secrets. I have asked the Lord, when we get to heaven, if there is a piano there, please let me play. That's how much I like the piano. Well, years ago, we listened to a man, Kirkpatrick was his name, harpsichordist. Oh, my, he could play the harp. He was a young man then. Hadn't heard of him for a long, long time. And I saw the announcement, Ralph Kirkpatrick is going to play the harpsichord. Oh, I must hear this. But when he came out, I noticed that his gait was not a normal gait. And he went over to the harpsichord gingerly, and he sat there. I said, something's wrong. This is not the man that I heard years ago. But he played. He played. And I said, it was funny. What happened to him? You know what happened to him? He lost the sight of both eyes. But he was playing. That's what I want to get across. Don't tell me how old you are and how uncomfortable. God wants what you have. He wants the fat. All that you have. I think of Moses, and we've read of him. He didn't have much. David didn't have much, did he? A little spring stuff, but he had God. And beloved, whatever you have. I know what it is like to be sick. And when those knees don't want to function. I think most of us, the older ones, you know about the knee trouble, don't you? Well, don't let it stop you. Keep on going. Keep going without stopping. Then I think of Epaphroditus. Philippians 1. And I'm going to stop very short. Philippians 2, verse 25. Epaphroditus. Philippians 2. Verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger that ministered to my wants. He longed after you all, full of heaviness, because you heard that he had been sick. Indeed, he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. Beloved, let me warn you, and you young folks, this idea that God's people aren't supposed to get sick. Utter nonsense. Paul was sick, wasn't he? Epaphroditus was sick. Timothy was sick. Don't be moved by these folk that go around. Well, they don't know you. They die. Every one of those preachers dies. It's appointed on the man to die. You're either going by the undertaker or the uppertaker, but you're going to die. Don't be deceived by what you hear around. And in that connection, a verse in Colossians, please. And I speak especially to the youngsters. I'm burdened for the youngsters. The old people, they know all these things. But you young people, I don't want you to go the way of Princess Di. That's why I speak as I do. Colossians chapter 2. Beware, lest any man spoil you or make a prey of you through philosophy and the tradition of men. You know what? How one translation runs it? Through high-sounding nonsense. Oh, that's a beautiful translation. And that's all they're telling you. They don't know that much. They're always altering and changing the dates of the age of the earth. At one time, the earth and the heavens were formed from some soup. Now there's a new theory. It formed from a ball of fire. And that won't last long, it formed from another. Go by the book. In the beginning, God. And you know, it moves me. When you read in Psalm 33, he spoke and it was done. How do you speak to nothing and get something? But that's my God. And I would encourage you again as young people, learn the Bible. We were hearing about that on Saturday night. Learn the Word of God. Put it in. Something else comes. Do you know that you cannot put out of your brain what you haven't put in? Did you know that? I remember in the second year in medical school, Professor Maloney gave us some tablets. At that time, you had to taste every medicine that you prescribed so that you would have some idea of what the patient is supposed to experience. And he gave us these tablets. And he said, now, gentlemen, Friday, I want you to take these tablets. I'm not giving you any details about them, but they are reputed to give you good memory. And on Monday morning, he gave an examination. And half of the class failed. But they all took the tablet. But 50% did not study. And came to him and said, he said that this would help our memories. And I will never forget Professor Maloney. Gentlemen, you can't put out what you don't put in. And if you don't put this in, you can't put it out. I think I've spoken long enough. I think I've made my point. Have I made my point? Use your energy for the Lord. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth, all you young people. And for the older ones that don't have the strength of their youth, give the best that you have. May the Lord bless us all. The Lord save us.
I want to thank our dear brethren that have spoken to us this morning. They have ministered the word of the Lord to much profit, and our hearts have been blessed. I trust that your heart has been blessed as we have listened to the precious word of God. And you don't have to go over the message. You heard it, and we are responsible for what we have heard. Now, before we have our closing hymn and prayer, our brother, Dr. William Dines, will come forward and he will tell you how you can take care of the physical man. Brother Dines will give you directions to the dining room.